Well, today we lit that fourth candle and we named it love. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Another time, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." There are over 20, I think it's 24, I'm not sure, over 20 words in the original languages that are translated into English as love. The words here that Jesus used, that word talks about love in a moral sort of sense, a social kind of love. We're not talking about amorous love. As a matter of fact, never in the Bible does the Bible speak about sexual intercourse as love. Never. So we tend to confuse those things. Jesus is not talking about sex. He's talking about care. This word that he used, it has an implication of making a decision of some sort. It's an action word. It's a verb. When he says love one another, it requires action in order to do it. Now, it's obvious that this subject was very important to Jesus. The Jews held the Ten Commandments very high, both socially and religiously. You're not supposed to break those commandments. And they were very good at defining how you live by those commandments. I mean, down to on Sunday, you know, it says on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to work. They actually had extended that to the point where you can't walk more than so many steps on the Sabbath day. You know, you're not supposed to build a fire. You're not supposed to do this or that. The law, according to the Jews, you either did it or you didn't. I mean, as simple as that. It's black and white. You do it or you don't. And Jesus is taking the word love, the concept of love, and he's saying, this is more important than all of those commandments and all of their extensions on how you do them. The first commandment is to love God. And the second one is to love your neighbor. And the word he used was a verb. It's something you do. So keep in mind, if you're not doing it, you're breaking the commandment. This makes our religion, and hopefully our lives, much more complicated. Because it's not just a do it or don't do it. How do you define love? You know, the minute you talk about loving someone, your mind starts to go around and around and say, well, how do I love this person? And every time you say love, you know, there's always that sexual implication in the background in our society. It's always there because everything that you see on television or the movies, you know, it's just saturated with sex, which has absolutely nothing to do with love. Now it can, but in itself it doesn't. So John wrote this: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He got more specific, and he wrote this: whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Now, John isn't talking about just biological brothers and sisters. He's talking about us and our relationship with one another. You are my sisters. You are my brothers. And I am yours. And Jesus calls us to love one another. So what does that mean? Well, John starts out with the word that Jesus used, that action word, the verb. Whoever does not love with the actions. But then he uses a variety, a change of that word. That word is agapao. But the other word he uses is agape, which is more familiar to us. Agape is an attitude. The way that you think about something and go about facing it. It's an attitude of affection or benevolence. Now, benevolence isn't one that we use very often. Benevolence means kindness, charity, goodwill, acts of kindness. In other words, caring. So the attitude is one of caring for other people. Well, let's go a little farther and see what the Bible has to say about defining love. Paul did this in the 13th chapter of his letter to the Corinthians. And I want to read verses 4 to 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Those verses say an awful lot. Now he starts out with the word agape, the attitude one. Our attitude, remember, of affection or caring for someone. And he defines that. And he says that attitude, either you do it or you don't. Okay? Be patient and kind. If you're not patient and kind, you've broken the law. You break the law when you're arrogant or big-headed. If you always have to have it your way, you've broken the law. Are you irritable and resentful, holding a grudge, oversensitive? You missed the mark. But love is also an action. So you go into action with this attitude. Love rejoices in the truth. You know, if something happens, you don't want to admit it. Consequences are pretty rough sometimes. When you face up to it, that's love for that person. They're to be commended for embracing the truth. And you show your love by encouraging them. Love bears all challenges and endures all the threats to your relationship. We see a lot of broken relationships. And you wonder why that person clings to that relationship? Perhaps the one really does love the other one. They care for them. But the one doesn't. We're going to get into that a little bit. But here's the kicker in Paul's definition of love. Love never ends. Wow. And you look around. How many people do you know have applied that definition to what they're calling love? You see, you don't fall into love with someone and then fall out. Love is not, let me say it again, love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. You see, that's why marriage vows are so important. Because you get up and you say, I love this person. And Paul says, love never ends. You see, it's a commitment. And when you make that decision, that's a yes or no. Either you made that decision or you didn't make that decision. But when you get married, you stand up in front of everybody and you say, God is my witness. I made this decision. So you can't back out of what you made. Either you made that decision and it's forever, or you didn't. So how is it, as people go into a relationship, that you determine that you love someone? Well, first of all, you can't make that kind of determination on a one-night stand, which is one of the reasons that God says you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage. Because the implications that can happen, the things that can come from a one-night stand, change your life. It takes time. You examine your feelings. You examine the family that you're going to be part of. You look toward the circumstances you're going to be living in. And you go through all of that. Before we got engaged, I sat down beside Connie and I said, well, you think we can make it? She said, yeah. And so then, when you come to that point, that's when you make a decision. And you say, this will be forever. That's how you go into it. If you didn't do that, then you really probably didn't make a decision. You made some sort of choice, but it had nothing to do with love. Because love cares for that other person. And that means that you will want to do your best through high water or something else. So either you make the decision to do this forever, or you didn't. When you look at it that way, it's just like any other commandments. You do them or you don't. Jesus directs us to have an attitude of affection and care. He requires that we do that. It's a commandment. It's not optional. Just like he says back from the Old Testament, you're not supposed to murder somebody. You see, we tend to say that, okay, these sins are pretty serious because they break the Ten Commandments. And these sins, well, you know, maybe they're not even a sin. And then we look at these Ten Commandments and we say, well, but that one's not so important. And that one's not so important. And yeah, today we're just going to live like that one's not so important either. And so when we look at the Ten Commandments and we can just brush them away, then when we look at Jesus' commandment to love someone, we can just brush that away too. You see, it's a matter of priorities. How do you make your decisions? Do you think about them and say, I'm going to do this? Or do you just kind of fall into things? You don't fall in love. You decide to love. Well, you know, every one of us knows that giddy kind of feeling that you say, oh, I really love that person. You know, and the heart's beating a little bit faster. You know, and maybe there's a flush of adrenaline. And, you know? We all know what that's like. And you say, boy, I'd like to live this way. I want to be with that person. And so you fall into a relationship. Oh, but sometimes it's not even a relationship. It's a situation. And you follow your feelings. And a couple months later, you figure out that your whole life has changed forever. Wouldn't it have been wiser? Now we can all look back in 2020, can't we? We see exactly what happened. But if we had listened to God's law and listened to the definition of what love is, we'd have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. Again, most of us know that. You don't need me to tell you. But you see, most of us sitting here are a first or a second generation when there's a third and a fourth and maybe a fifth around. And we are the ones that are going to pass on to the third, fourth, and fifth generations the lessons of what ought to be in spite of what is. Now, understand, we're all human. We fail. That's our nature. We're sinful. That's our nature. And you know what? There's a fix for that. There's a remedy. God looked at us, and like that fourth candle says, He loved us. And God's love never ends. Because He has decided to love us. The decision was made. And understand, love, a love decision, never ends. Now, part of the sinful world is that perhaps when two people get together, the one does make that decision. The one does love the other. The other one doesn't. It's a matter of convenience or feel good or entrapment. You know, that's just the way things went, right? But God is always there. And if you love that unlovable person because you have decided and you've made that commitment, God is there. And sometimes, I really believe this, God will say, you just back away because that person is not good for you. And I don't want you with somebody who doesn't love you. The Bible does condone divorce for unfaithfulness. And unfaithfulness is not always sexual. Sometimes it's an unfaithful love. In other words, a promise to care for and be affectionate to. That's unfaithful. But God is faithful. And He will work it out with you if you're willing to let Him. And God wants us not only to love Him forever, but to love each other. And so last week, Amia stood up in front of us. And she said, I love God. Jesus is my Lord, my Master. That was a decision. It was a love decision. It was a decision, if it's true, and I believe it was, that lasts forever. Love never ends. Several of you have done the same thing. You've said, I love Jesus. You stood up in front of the congregation and said, Jesus is my Lord. I love Him. You made that forever commitment. But you've fallen down. You've been unfaithful to that love. But God forgives. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God loved us. And He still loves us. If you know someone who has made that forever decision and they've fallen away, perhaps you are the one to remind them in a loving way, a caring way, an affectionate way, that they bit off a forever decision. And God uses you and me to help them, to be close to them, to encourage them. That's what the church is, the body of Christ, called to love one another. So, in this season, we're focusing on the first coming of Jesus, His birth, a sign of God's love to us. He sent the Son. He came here Himself to be with us. He made us a forever promise to love us, to care for us, to have affection for us. Let's pray together. Lord, what can we say? Your love is beyond our understanding. But help us to try to imitate it. To look at those around us and to love them, to care for them, to want what's best for them, to treat them without anger, without irritation, without selfishness. Jesus was an example for us. Help us to live like He did. We're not able and we're not worthy. So help us, Lord. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.